Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, May 19th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
The sell-off continues as U.S. futures add to yesterday's losses.
J.P. Morgan becomes the latest firm to cut its outlook for growth.
Melvin Capital calls it quits, becoming the latest casualty of the sell-off.
And the White House takes another step to address the baby formula shortage.
The suspected gunman in Buffalo supermarket shooting has a court appearance today. Plus, Supreme Court justices are getting 24-hour protection. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Game one to the Hurricanes. They tied the Rangers late and then won in overtime. Win to the Yankees and Mets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by BNY Mellon Pershing's Insight Conference. Back in person June 15th through the 17th in Grapevine, Texas. A must-attend event for financial advisors. Register today at insight.bnymellon.com.
And futures this morning are lower. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down 62 points. Dow futures down 457. And NASDAQ futures down 200. 10-year Treasury up 18 30 seconds. Yield 2.81%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.61%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 2.3%. John.
And futures are down this morning, Karen, after yesterday's big sell-off. The S&P 500 had its biggest single-day drop in nearly 2 years. Lauren Green, CEO at WealthWise, says investors should proceed with caution.
We are playing it more conservatively than more aggressively, both on the fixed income as well as on the equity. So dialing down areas that are high yield or areas like that.
WealthWise CEO Lauren Gilbert says it's unclear when markets could stabilize. Barings chief global strategist Christopher Smart believes that in spite of the uncertainty, there are still positive signs from the economy.
We still see the U.S. economy is fundamentally strong. The U.S. consumer is still very strong. Companies are ready to, have very good balance sheets. And we've just come through an earnings season that has been relatively good. I think it's important to understand that we're still a long way from a recession in the U.S.
Christopher Smart of Barings says it's a good time to focus on companies with strong business models and balance sheets.
Well, the sell-off is extending overseas, John. In Europe, equities are falling hard a day after Britain posted record inflation numbers. And Bloomberg's Max Ramsey joins us live from Brussels with the latest. Max, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and John. Yes, the sell-off gathering pace as we get through the European equities session this morning. The Stock 600 down 2.2% right now. It's in the UK that we see the worst losses, down 2.6% for the FTSE 100. But it is still the best performing of the major European indices year-to-date, despite the challenges posed from inflation, which hit a 40-year high in those CPI figures yesterday. Live in Brussels, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Max. Stocks in Asia also fell overnight. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with the latest from Singapore. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and John. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index halted a four-day rally, posting its biggest one-day decline intraday since early March. Tencent shares plunged in Hong Kong, dragging down the Hang Seng Tech Index after it posted its slowest revenue growth in the first quarter since its 2004 listing. Chinese shares also came under pressure on the mainland after StanChart cut their 2022 GDP forecast to 4.1% from 5%. But Aussie bonds and the local currency rallied after Australia's unemployment level plunged to a near 50-year low in April, delivering a potential boon to Prime Minister Scott Morrison's government as it enters the final days of campaigning for Saturday's election. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Turning to the Fed now, it's looking more and more likely the Fed will follow through on Jay Powell's recent hawkish comments to address inflation. Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker plans on a series of rate hikes at a measured pace.
Going forward, if there are no significant changes in the data in the coming weeks, I expect two additional 50 basis point rate hikes in June and July.
And Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker made the comments at a virtual event hosted by the mid-sized Bank Coalition of America. He anticipates the economy can weather a measured, methodical tightening of monetary policy.
And J.P. Morgan warning of declining growth. Economists at the bank lowering their outlook about 0.5% for the second half of this year. But now forecasts growth of 2.4%. The bank cites falling stock prices, higher mortgage rates, and a strong dollar as reasons for the revision.
Well, John, it's been over a year since Melvin Capital Management suffered severe losses in the meme stock frenzy, and now Gabe Plotkin's firm is calling it quits. Bloomberg's Renita Young is here live with more. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Gabe Plotkin is shutting down his $7.8 billion hedge fund. Melvin Capital Management was the most prominent victim of the meme stock frenzy of January 2021, losing billions. Now, the fund posted a 55% loss that month alone, and since then, Plotkin's been trying to claw his way back with funding from some of Wall Street's biggest players. Although the fund showed some promise last year, a plan to reimpose fees frustrated backers and failed. Now Melvin Capital is outlining plans to eliminate fees and return investor cash. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. Turning to the nation's capital, the White House remains laser-focused on easing the baby formula shortage, taking new measures in tandem with Congress to address the crisis. Bloomberg's Amy Morris has the latest from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Biden invoked emergency powers under the Defense Production Act to try to boost production of baby formula while ordering the use of government planes for imports called Operation Fly Formula.
That's to be able to speed up the import of infant formula and start getting more formula in stores as soon as possible.
Meanwhile, the House passed a $28 million emergency funding bill for the FDA to address the baby formula shortage. Republicans oppose the measure, and its future in the Senate is uncertain. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. And President Biden meets today with Finland's president and Sweden's prime minister to discuss the nation's bids to join NATO. Turkey's president has blocked the alliance from starting the process for both countries. He cites Finland and Sweden's approach to Kurdish groups that he considers terrorists. Futures this morning lower. S&P futures down 55 points. Dow futures down 412. NASDAQ futures down 177. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr now to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
Thank you very much. The white 18-year-old gunman accused of killing 10 black people at a Buffalo supermarket is scheduled to appear in court today. Authorities say shortly before the attack last Saturday, Peyton Gendron posted hundreds of pages of writings to online discussion groups where he detailed his plans for the assault and his racist motivation. It prompted New York Governor Kathy Hochul to sign an executive order to create a domestic terrorism unit to address the rise in homegrown extremism. Hochul says, among other things, it will alert authorities to anyone who could become violent.
Requiring the state police to file an extreme risk order of protection under New York's red flag law when they believe that an individual is a threat to himself, herself, or others. Previously, current law, it's an option to do so.
According to Governor Hochul, let Buffalo be the city where people said enough is enough. Meanwhile, the U.S. House passed legislation last night that would bolster federal resources to prevent domestic terrorism in response to the Buffalo shooting. Coronavirus variants are spreading in the U.S. and worldwide. At the White House COVID response team briefing, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky urging new precautions.
In areas where community levels are high, everyone should be using prevention measures and wearing a mask in public indoor settings.
Dr. Walensky says there is an uptick in COVID deaths, about 275 per day. New York Mayor Eric Adams said he has no plans to reinstate a mask mandate in public schools, even after health officials this week raised the city's COVID alert level to high. During a news conference, Adams says we are not allowing COVID to outsmart us.
And so I'm just really impressed with how we are operating as a city. Variants are going to continue to come.
Mayor Adams went on to say, we're staying prepared and not panicking. The federal government is warning law enforcement agencies around the nation of the increased potential for extremist violence after the leak of a draft Supreme Court opinion striking down the constitutional right to abortion. The U.S. Marshals Service has the Supreme Court justices under 24-hour security. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 6:10 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The Rangers know all about losing a series opener in overtime. It happened against Pittsburgh. That was triple overtime at the Garden. This one was in Raleigh, and it ended just 3 minutes in.
Pesci gets it to Smith. His rocket doesn't get through. Knocked down by Trouba.
CMC of the call. Rangers for most of the night had a 1-0 lead on a Filipino goal, but they didn't score again, and Carolina dominated the third period. They had a breakaway shot go off the crossbar and another shot caromed off the post, and then with under 3 minutes to go, Sebastian Aho scored the tying goal. Cole's game winner actually went in off the stick of Ranger defenseman Ryan Lindgren. Wild start to the Battle of Alberta. Calgary led 5-1. Edmonton tied the game at 6. Then the Flames won 9-6. NBA West Finals Game 1, Golden State blew out Dallas by 25. Yankees won again in Baltimore. 3 runs in the first inning. They didn't score again, but they won 3-2 as Garrett Cole went 7 innings. And Clay Holmes, the last two. Holmes has now thrown almost 20 consecutive scoreless innings. The Yanks go for the 4-game sweep this afternoon. At Citi Field, Mets pulled away after 4 runs in the fifth inning, 5 more in the eighth, including a Pete Alonso 3-run homer. Max Scherzer got the win as the Mets beat the Cardinals 11-4, but Scherzer took himself out in the sixth inning. Discomfort in his left side, headed for an MRI, but Scherzer said he doubts that it's anything serious. PGA Championship begins this morning in Tulsa. Tiger Woods has an early tee time. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. After yesterday's 4% sell-off for the S&P 500, S&P futures this morning, they point lower. Right now down 54 points. The Dow futures, 411 points lower. And the NASDAQ futures are down right now 175 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, lessons from Wednesday's sell-off. Our own Joe Weisenthal stops by to look at the bullwhip effect. We'll explain. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are out deepening, European shares tumbling, and U.S. stock index futures signaling more losses ahead after yesterday's sell-off that erased $1.5 trillion of market value from U.S. equities. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 55 points this morning. Dow futures down 419 and NASDAQ futures down 176. The DAX in Germany is down more than 2%. The 10-year Treasury up 18 30 seconds, yield 2.81%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.61%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% at $1.71 at $107.88 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $11.20 at $18.33.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0502 against the dollar. British pound 1.2409. The yen is at 127.68. And Bitcoin this morning is down 0.5% at $29,000. And Xiaomi posting its first quarterly revenue decline on record. This after Beijing's strict COVID containment policies crippled smartphone sales. We are watching for some earnings today from companies including Kohl's. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The CDC's Independent Advisory Committee meets today to discuss whether to authorize Pfizer's COVID-19 booster shot for children ages 5 to 11. It's happening as the nation's COVID resurgence reaches its highest point since mid-February. The suspected 18-year-old gunman in the deadly Buffalo supermarket shooting has a court appearance today. Authorities continue to investigate the possibility of a hate crime or terrorism charges against Peyton Gendron. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers lost to the Hurricanes 2-1 in overtime in Game 1 of their series. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors won Game 1 of their Western Conference Finals over the Mavericks. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 3-2. The Mets, Red Sox, and Nationals won. The Giants and A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take.
powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, the big story of this week seems to be the absolute implosion of some huge retail names like Walmart, Target, Costco. Joining us now, Joe Weisenthal, Bloomberg News managing editor and host of the Odd Lots podcast, who just happened to write a story with that exact headline, Joe. There's a shift taking place. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, what people have expected for a long time is that at some point there would be this big shift away from the type of sort of durable goods, household goods consumption that we saw for the pandemic. Because we know there was this big durable goods boom, but nobody really knew when. And if you think about it, you know, like, remember what the story was last fall. Would there be empty shelves on the stores for Christmas? And so what you have is this effect where it's like, everybody wanted to load up. Everybody wanted to have inventories. Everybody wanted to make sure that there was no, you know, empty shelves. And what we're seeing now is that the consumption shift has happened in a big way, really in the last 2 months, the sort of normalization of consumption. And now we see these huge piles of unsold inventories at places like Target and Walmart. And that's a pretty sort of like, it's a costly shift for them.
What am I spending my money on now? What have I shifted to?
You know what? Target said yesterday that they're seeing a huge surge in luggage sales. So one category that is doing extremely well for Target is luggage. But it's pretty obvious like what that means. It's like the things that we put off for 2 years are coming back in a big way. And one of them is travel. In fact, I know myself, you know, I'm not even typically a big traveler. I think I've been on like 12 flights in the last month and a half, which is like a record for me. It's like different work things, some vacation, some other traveling. And so this big shift is happening from the type of things that a lot of people simply did not do for essentially two straight years.
Okay, so we're going from buying stuff to services. Services is the biggest part of the economy. That gets a boost. Maybe the price is coming down on the stuff.
Yeah.
Joe, the problem solved.
Well, look, that is the big hope, right? I don't know if the problem is solved, but the hope would be at least that when we have normalized consumption, when our lifestyles, when our purchasing patterns are roughly what they were in 2019, that mix has returned, that then supply chains and offices and all that can more or less work as intended, and that the Fed would love that. Investors would love it. We don't know if it'll happen, especially on the price side, because, look, we know that rents are picking up. That's not something that, you know, is like looks like it's going to go away imminently. We know that services prices are seeing firming inflation. So I think the jury is still out on whether the sort of inflation will normalize just when our consumption normalizes. But I think that'll be part of it. And look, we know like there is an element of the current inflation that's sort of related to the pandemic. And so the big question is, how much? Is it 50%? Is it 25%? Is it 75%? We'll probably find out soon what sort of like real underlying inflation looks like. And that will tell us how much more work the Fed has to do to get back to target.
What's the bullwhip effect?
Yeah, I mean, it's this phenomenon that supply chain professionals have talked about for a long time, long before the pandemic. But it basically is this phenomenon in which it becomes extremely hard in a shock to accurately gauge a proper level of inventory and buying. And people don't have much visibility into what the end consumer is going to look like. So companies change their whole patterns. You see, okay, we're getting a big pickup in demand for toaster ovens or new refrigerators or the, you know, furniture. And so then everybody starts cranking up production of furniture and orders of furniture. And then people overorder because, again, remember, we had these shortages. And so if you're facing shortages, what do? You're like, well, I'm going to order even more just to make sure I don't run out. But then it sort of whips in the other direction. And then you have these really magnified errors in both directions where you go from shortages to gluts very fast because of the compensation in either direction.
It sounds like there are parallels also to Fed policy. Joe, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Joe Weisenthal, the Bloomberg News Managing Editor, also the host of the Odd Lots podcast. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures, after yesterday's 4% sell-off for the S&P 500, we have futures lower this morning. S&P futures down 52. Dow futures 402 points lower. The Nasdaq futures down 170 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather from meteorologist Rob Carlin. It's have some real heavy rain this morning. The rain will end this morning, then becoming partly sunny. The high temperature today, 70 to 75 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 1.33% to 2.33%, rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, U.S. futures falling again as stocks come off their worst day in nearly 2 years. Weak retail earnings are stoking concerns about the consumer sector, and Mark Cudmore is a macro strategist for Bloomberg News.
The weakness for the consumer sector was belated in my point of view, and it makes sense that it's finally come. We kind of seem to be denying reality there. The bit that I'm really confused about is how fragile is the consumer overall? Because a recession's definitely coming, by the way. There's no chance of avoiding a hard landing, so we're just talking about when it comes.
Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore says the most optimistic view has the U.S. entering recession next year.
So where do investors put their money? There's no good answer, according to David Dietz. He's senior portfolio strategist at PPAC Private Wealth.
The alternatives like Bitcoin have crashed, so there's only cash. But, you know, with inflation close to 8%, cash doesn't look very good for the long haul either. So it's a real hand-wringing time for investors.
PPAC's David Dietz was a guest on Bloomberg Business Week, heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Bloomberg Radio. The S&P 500 fell 4% yesterday. This morning, S&P futures are down 1.4%.
Well, the latest casualty of the sell-off, John, Melvin Capital. Gabe Plotkin's hedge fund is calling it quits, and Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Gabe Plotkin is shutting down his $7.8 billion hedge fund. Melvin Capital Management was the most prominent victim of last year's meme stock frenzy, losing billions. The fund posted a 55% loss that month alone. And since then, Plotkin's been trying to claw his way back with funding from some of Wall Street's biggest players. Now, the fund showed some promise last year, but a plan to reimpose fees frustrated backers and failed. Now, Melvin Capital is outlining plans to eliminate fees and return investor cash. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. Earnings from Cisco also weighing on sentiment. The tech company warning that lockdowns in China and supply chain disruptions could wipe out sales growth this quarter. Cisco shares down more than 10% in early trading.
And some big names on Wall Street are slashing their forecasts. Economists at J.P. Morgan are cutting their U.S. growth outlook for the year to 2.4%. And Wells Fargo is cutting its view on the S&P 500. Its year-end target now hovers around 4,200. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
All right, thanks, Karen. It is now 6:33. Yeah, it's time now to bring in Michael Barr for what else is going on in New York and around the world.
Thank you, John. The white 18-year-old gunman accused of killing 10 black people at a Buffalo supermarket is scheduled to appear in court today. Authorities continue to investigate the possibility of hate crime or terrorism charges against Peyton Gendron. Meanwhile, the district attorney prosecuting the case says the authorities correctly followed protocol when investigating the threat the shooter made a year ago. Broome County DA Mike Korchak.
New York State Police followed up appropriately on what the school district advised them of. They properly transported the individual to Binghamton General Hospital for a mental health evaluation.
DA Korchak says everyone involved will be reevaluating their procedures. New York Governor Kathy Hochul authorized the state's attorney general to investigate social media platforms used by the suspected gunman to determine whether they were liable for providing a platform to plan and promote violence. Hochul said social media companies have to take responsibility for incendiary content on their platforms.
That's the intersection of two crises right now that are unfolding in our country. The mainstreaming of hate speech, of racism, nationalism, white supremacy, and the easy access to military-style weapons and magazines.
Governor Hochul also says she signed an executive order that requires state police to flag people who might be deemed a danger to themselves or others. New York Mayor Eric Adams said he has no plans to reinstate a mask mandate in public schools, even after health officials this week raised the city's COVID alert level to high and advised wearing face coverings indoors.
We are being extremely strategic, and we are fighting COVID with not only the tools that we didn't have before, but we're also fighting COVID using the intelligence we need to win.
Mayor Adams says we're staying prepared and not panicking. Former New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he's considering a run for Congress after a legal battle over the state's political maps opened up a seat in Brooklyn. The two-term Democrat who left office at the end of 2021 said that he has formed an exploratory committee. The Justice Department announced U.S. Supreme Court justices will receive around-the-clock security at home, among other protections. It follows the leaked draft opinion advocating overturning abortion rights. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 6:36 on Wall Street, and that's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, John, the Rangers in the first round won a series where they never led Pittsburgh until the overtime goal in Game 7. Now round 2, Game 1 at Carolina. Filippino scored 7 minutes in. It stayed 1-0 for the next 50 minutes. Hurricanes were outplayed in the first two periods, but they dominated the third, and they tied the game on a Sebastian Aho goal, 2:23 remaining, then 3:12 into overtime. Ian Cole scored on a rebound, and the Canes won 2-1. They're now 5-0 at home this postseason. Calgary won a wild one with Edmonton, 9-6. NBA Golden State blew out Dallas by 25. The Mets' great start has been without the still-injured Jacob deGrom, and now there's concern about Max Scherzer. Got the win at Citi Field, improved to 5-1. Mets beat the Cardinals 11-4. But Scherzer took himself out. Sixth inning, discomfort in his left side.
I don't think this is a major strain. Like I said, I was kind of tight, and then all of a sudden it went, But I don't feel like I really ripped it, I felt like it just kind of got worse.
Scherzer will have an MRI today. Yankees made it 21 of the last 24. 3-2 in Baltimore. All three runs in the first inning. Garrett Cole got the win. Clay Holmes the save. The Giants, with salary cap issues, had to release one of their best players, and now they'll see cornerback James Bradbury twice. He signed with Philadelphia. PGA Championship, Short Hills in Tulsa. Without the defending champ, Phil Mickelson, and Bryson DeChambeau withdrew, injured hand, but a marquee threesome this morning. Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods. Live PGA coverage on Bloomberg Radio today starting at 4, and the PGA Championship wrap-up show at 11. Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks very much. 6:37 on Wall Street, and it is time now to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. I'm looking for a broader theme for the markets, the narrative that they're latching onto, and I guess it's margin compression. Higher costs are squeezing profits.
Pretty much that, and if you have any kind of exposure to China, anything COVID lockdown related, your stock is going to crash. And I think a great case study of it is one of the worst performing stocks this morning, which of course is Cisco. CSCO is your ticker, down about 13%. They came out and they said, I believe they reported earnings last night, and they came out and said that they're warning that Chinese lockdowns and other supply disruptions would wipe out sales growth in the current quarter, not eat into margins, but wipe it out completely. And that, of course, adds on to the broader concerns about tech, which has been dragging the entire market down. Remember, these were the big names that were dragging or pulling the market up to record highs, I should say. But there is some green on the screen. If you want to think, I've got one for you.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. If you are worried about China lockdowns, if you're worried about supply shortages, think about the companies that are benefiting from supply shortages or benefiting.
Let me think about this. Who would benefit from a supply shortage and a lockdown in China?
Well, how about
energy?
A chip company.
Okay.
Synopsys, for example, it's a chip software designer, and they're saying they reported extremely strong demand. And it's actually one of the only five stocks that are in the green this morning. SNPS is your ticker. It's up just shy of 4%. But then to your point, you said energy, you said food as well. If you look at some of the other four names in the green, CF Industries is a fertilizer company. It's up about 0.7%. Newmont, higher with gold prices this morning. NEM is your ticker, up 0.6%. NRG, your energy company, is right there, up 0.5%. And even Albemarle, ALB, which is a it makes lithium that helps kind of feed EV batteries, for example. ALB is the ticker, up 0.2%. So really anything commodities related, at least in that pocket, is doing well. But then if you look into the majors like a Chevron or an Exxon, for example, those are down as well. So there are very, very small pockets of green.
Okay. And well, recap retail for me. That's not the place for investors to be right now, I guess.
It's not the place for investors to be. And arguably, it's what sparked this whole entire thing. If you actually look at just a follow-up from the earnings we heard this week, Walmart, WMT, down 0.8% this morning. Costco as well, COST, down 1%. TGT for Target, down 1% as well. But remember, we do get Kohl's earnings a little bit, KSS. So keep an eye on those shares.
That'll be very interesting. Thank you. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. And looking at stocks as a whole ahead of the open S&P futures right now, they are down 53 points. That's a decline of 1.4% after yesterday's 4% sell-off. Dow futures, 404 points lower. The Nasdaq E-mini futures are down 174. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather for a meteorologist, Rob Carinan. Rain ending this morning, then becoming partly sunny today. The high temperature, 70 to 75 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, lows 55 to 60.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are sinking again after yesterday's plunge, with Dow futures down 342 points. S&P's dropped 45. NASDAQ futures are lower by 140. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.82%. Gold is up 12. Oil is down. And Bitcoin is falling by 0.8%. Hong Kong dropped 2.5% overnight, while European markets are also in the red, led by 2% losses in the UK, France, and Germany. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobless claims and the Philly Fed, and at 10 o'clock, existing home sales. After the bell last night, Cisco reported shares are down 12% in the pre-market, and the Under Armour CEO stepped down. Regarding earnings this morning, look for Kohl's to report in the pre-market, and wrapping things up, Under Armour was cut to equal weight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Hey, Bill, thank you to hear live breaking news of your Bloomberg-type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And we do have this headline that just crossed the Bloomberg. Spirit Airlines Board is urging shareholders to reject the JetBlue offer. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. More Ukrainian soldiers were evacuated from a steel plant in Mariupol. Several buses accompanied by Russian military vehicles were seen pulling away from the plant. President Joe Biden invoked emergency powers under the Defense Production Act to try and boost production of baby formula to alleviate shortages. The suspect in the Buffalo killings will be in court today. Meanwhile, players on the Buffalo Bills visited the memorial outside the supermarket shooting. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers lost to the Hurricanes 2-1 in overtime in Game 1 of their series. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors won Game 1 of their Western Finals over the Mavericks. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 3-2, the Mets, Red Sox, and Nationals won, the Giants and A's lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Tank, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Buffalo. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Joe Biden's Buffalo speech on Tuesday, hitting on the necessary themes of combating hatred and defending democracy, was a good one. The speech was extremely Biden-esque, combining all of his leading traits as a public figure. Biden displayed the empathy that was a central part of his campaign. He also deployed, as usual, his Scranton-ness, not as a contrast to other places or backgrounds, but as an inclusive form of one-of-us representation. But Biden isn't just an empathy president or a one-of-us president. He's also the guy who shoots off his mouth too often. And he used blunt words in Buffalo. Domestic terrorism, racism, white supremacy. For Biden, empathy and Scranton-ness set the stage for the bluntness needed to make clear that attacks like the Buffalo massacre are tightly connected to bigoted speech in the public sphere and to broader attacks on U.S. democracy. That doesn't mean that the speech is going to solve everything. Speeches don't have that power. Presidents don't have that power. But every little bit helps. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Spain is experiencing unusually high temperature levels amid a heat wave that's expected to take thermometers above 104 degrees Fahrenheit this weekend. It adds to a long list of extreme weather events in recent weeks, showing the impact of climate change. A new study finds microplastics are widely present in the drinking water of Nigeria's largest city, Lagos. It's unclear how the tiny particles found in the environment and ingested by humans impacted health. A World Health Organization official warns it's urgent to learn about the health impact of microplastics on human health. And as SpaceX looks to launch its newest rocket from Boca Chica, Texas, government wildlife officials say several conservation measures need to be taken to minimize its impact on local species. Suggested mitigation efforts included contracting with a qualified biologist to monitor vegetation and birds, reducing vehicle traffic, and adjusting lights to minimize the impact on sea turtles. That's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. John.
All right, thanks, Karen. And we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:52 on Wall Street. And that's time to take a look at what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories making news in the nation's capital include President Biden invoking emergency powers to try to ease the baby formula shortage. The House also taking action, passing an FDA baby formula bill. And Democrats pressing the White House to go big on forgiving student loan debt. Let's take a deeper dive into these stories this morning. We're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick. Jack, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. What action is the White House taking on the baby formula front?
In the immediate term, the president announced a couple things. One, he's using the Defense Production Act to try to boost production of baby formula. That is the measure that allows the government to force companies to either produce or prioritize the production of certain things. That could address if there are any shortcomings in the supply chain leading up to the production of baby formula, shortcomings in terms of an ingredient making it down the line. If government officials can find any instances when they can compel or in a greater way prioritize the movement of that to increase the production of baby formula, they'll do that. The other was allowing the use of government planes for imports. The import issue is going to be a significant measure that's getting a lot of attention on Capitol Hill as well to try to alleviate the shortage and probably has a significant amount of potential in the short term. It takes a little while to increase production domestically, but there is a significant focus of imports and the use of government planes. The president believes could speed that up.
The House also pushing a measure. What is that, and what's the likelihood of passage?
It's a fairly small measure. It's $28 million for the Food and Drug Administration. The House Appropriations Chair, Rosa DeLauro, has said she views them as being short-staffed in terms of having inspectors, which is important because if they're looking for other ways to get baby formula other than the Abbott facility that had to close, then they need more inspectors to ensure that places that aren't on the FDA's lists already – can be added to the list. So they need to go to more potential sources of production. That was not negotiated with Senate Democrats, let alone any Republicans. The House passed it with a majority. Its path in the Senate is not entirely clear. DeLauro's counterpart, the Appropriations Chair in the Senate, Patrick Leahy, said he may work on his own bill. It might end up being the same bill. But the fact that it doesn't have an entirely clear path and really is a House Democratic bill means we can't necessarily expect it to fly through the Senate immediately.
There's some chatter from Democrats that a big measure to forgive student loan debt. What's the update?
Yeah, Chuck Schumer, very importantly, the Senate Majority Leader, joined with Senators Elizabeth Warren and Raphael Warnock to try to pitch President Biden to go up to $50,000 in student debt relief. The president previously has indicated more looking like $10,000. So this is trying to really maximize whatever relief he may consider. To get the Senate Majority Leader on board with that pitch is significant. Obviously, Senator Elizabeth Warren campaigned very aggressively for the presidency on that issue. So there's pressure from Senate Democrats to try to get it up to the biggest number possible. And obviously, they're looking to the White House because the legislative path forward for this with Republican opposition would be very, very difficult. So there's a lot of focus on trying to negotiate with Biden directly to see what he can do unilaterally.
Hey, finally, in the about a minute left, what was the big takeaway from yesterday's primary results?
I would look to Pennsylvania and the Senate race. John Fetterman, the more progressive Democratic candidate, really beat Connor Lamb, the House moderate, quite easily by more than 30 percentage points. That's a pretty big victory for progressives. Very close race still being counted on the Republican side. Mehmet Oz of Dr. Oz fame has a very narrow lead over Dave McCormick. It is within the realm of possibility that there will be an automatic recount, so that one could drag on for a little bit.
Does the former President Trump still hold sway of the Republican Party? Is that a takeaway or not?
He would like a victory here. Oz was his picked candidate, and interestingly enough, the closeness of this race prompted former President Trump to say that his candidate should declare victory now before, in his words, they find more votes. So we're getting we're reverting back to the drama of 2020 due to the closeness of that Republican primary.
All right, Jack, thanks very much. We appreciate that. Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Also, a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. After yesterday's sell-off in the markets, in part triggered by the results that we saw from Target, the Dow futures right now down 318 points. That's a 1% decline in the futures. The S&P 500 futures, after a 4% sell-off yesterday, down 42 points right now. That's down another 1% of the pre-market. And the NASDAQ futures down 142 points, down 1.2%. Just ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance. And for Karen Boscow, I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.